So good morning again. Thank you for coming to Sunday School. We are going to be looking at the Gospel of, we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, but we're going to look at a lot of verses. Actually, I'll actually begin in the Psalm 148, if you'd like to follow along. There'll be a number of references. I invite you to turn. If I hear pages turning, I'll pause a little bit. Otherwise, I'll just read them and you can pay close attention to them. We're talking this morning about the angelic announcement of the Christmas story. The promise of Christ's coming was given to Adam and Eve. Do you know that? In chapter 3, called the Protevangel. It's the first giving of the gospel, the first part of the story of the Lord Jesus, when the Lord said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Talking about the Lord Jesus. That's in the Garden of Eden. So the Bible is literally a story of Jesus and the story of redemption, what Jesus was about. For 4,000 years, the world waited. Every generation passed the news, the prophecy, the promise of the Lord's coming, on to the next generation. Prophets would prophesy the minute details of the Lord's coming, the Lord's life, and the Lord's death and ascension back to heaven. The minute details were prophesied, and they were waiting for these things to happen. The long wait finally ended in a period of 400 years of silence from heaven, just total silence, no prophet, no man of God to speak for the Lord. And everybody was continuing to wonder now and wait. 400 years, that's a long time. That's multiple lifetimes. Later, Paul would report, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." And everybody knew who that was. Of course, in between those, the Lord Jesus was born. Christmas took place. When the time was right, God had already determined how and by whom the announcement would be made. Who would receive the announcement of the Lord's coming? These are important facets of the story. And exactly what would they tell? What would they announce about the Christ? And I want us to think of those three things: how and by whom the announcement would be made, who would receive the announcement, and exactly what would be announced. I want us to answer those questions from the Word. And first of all, how should God announce that the time had finally come for the arrival of the promised head bruiser we read about in Genesis chapter 3. How would he announce it, and who would do the announcing? The Messiah is coming. There are a lot of possibilities. Somebody says, well, the personal appearance, but a personal appearance was sort of precluded by the fact that man was so sinful. God did not have a personal appearance where he walked with, like he did in Genesis, walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Television and internet had not yet been invented. A letter or a post, well, that would have been kind of slow and would have reached hostile ears before those who would be interested, so he didn't do that. A loud voice from heaven, maybe, announcing the time has come, the Messiah is about to be born. Somebody thinks, well, maybe a voice from heaven, but that would have caused a mass confusion in Jerusalem especially, but in the world for that matter. God chose to use a trusted messenger, an angel, the angel Gabriel. The angels had been waiting too, you know. They had been with the Lord since creation. They knew all about sin, probably knew much of the plan that God had arranged and prophesied on the earth. The angels were aware of those things. No doubt any one of them would have been honored, very honored, to be able to make the announcement of Jesus' birth. So God chose an angel. A common misconception, or several of them, have been made over the years about angels. You know, I hope you know, that humans don't die and become angels. You knew that, didn't you? Angels don't earn their wings, okay? They have wings. Angels aren't men or women or fat babies, right? Those are not angels. God has much to say about angels. Beginning in Psalm 148 in verse 2, He tells us that He created them. He says, "Praise ye Him, all His angels, praise ye Him, all His hosts." Verse 5 of the same chapter, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." So they were created when? Thousands of years before the earth? Well, no. Everything that was created in 6 literal days, right? 6 24-hour days. And so they were created probably early on in the creation. In Colossians 1 and verse 16, it says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, whether visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So He created the angels who announced His birth. How about that? The Lord created the angels and they announced His birth on earth. God the Son is eternal God. Angels are immortal. They're not going to die. They're living spirits and they'll live forever. They had a beginning, but they have no end, just like us, actually. The Bible says in Luke chapter 20 and verse 36, "Neither can they," it's talking about the resurrected people in that context, "neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." So angels live forever, the Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 20. They are innumerable. You can't count them. There are so many of them. The Bible says over in Hebrews 12 and verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So there are many angels. What are they doing? What are the angels doing? Well, they serve the Lord. They're heavenly beings, and they serve the Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 20 talks to us about their power. They're powerful beings. They're not omnipotent. They're nothing compared to God, but they're powerful beings. They're much more powerful than us. That Psalm 103 and verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word." Angels are powerful. They are involved in human affairs. It's an interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Now that we're the heirs of salvation. They're ministering for those who are heirs of salvation. So there must be angels among us. Perhaps we can't see them. You ever heard of a guardian angel? I have worked my guardian angel really hard since I was a teenager. Been close scrapes with death. Perhaps you have too. But the Bible says they are invisible, but they can take on human form. When it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So some nice person that you meet, some helpful person that you meet may be an angel, the verse says. I'm not going to disagree with that. I have been aided in critical times and not known the person and never saw them again. Maybe it was an angel. I don't know. There were three angels, you recall, in Genesis 18 that appeared to Abraham and the angel of the Lord. So angels, the Bible tells us much about the angels. They were God's choice. Why did he use angels? Well, angels lived in his presence. They already sort of understood what was going on. They served him continually. Angels understood at least part about his plan for the ages, his gift to mankind. Angels would have known something of that. Angels had known Christ since the beginning of creation, because he created them and there he was in their presence. And so they had spent many years in his presence. So God used angels. Now, unlike the people of Mary and Joseph's day, we believers have some things in common with angels. Can you imagine what we have in common with angels? Well, we can live in the presence of God by faith and serve Him on a daily basis. There's communication, ours to Him in prayer, and here's His to us through His Word. So there's communication. His Spirit lives within us. God's Spirit doesn't. So like the angels, we can serve the Lord and live in His presence. Like the angels, we understand, don't we, the plan of redemption. We understand His plan for the ages. We even know some things about heaven, like the angels who live there. And thirdly, like the angels, we know Christ personally, intimately, I hope. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and our Savior, and we love Him. In fact, we are God's chosen messengers, like the angels. They gave the announcement of His birth. We give the announcement of His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension back to heaven, and His heavenly work right now. We give people that information. That's what we're here for. We, like the angels, are God's messengers for this day. He tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell people about Jesus. So, God chose the angels, and now we are the messengers of God. Secondly, who should receive the announcement? Now, maybe you think, well, why not everybody? Everybody, but there would obviously be enemies, right, of a king. There were enemies of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so everybody really didn't need to know. They would have marred the event even more so than they did. They would have been an interference to what was happening. If everybody knew, things could have been pretty uncomfortable for Mary and Joseph. They had already taken this tiring journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem on the road with many travelers. Mary's pregnant, about ready to be delivered. It would have been very uncomfortable for them after birthing a baby and sleeping in a barn if everybody knew. So God didn't tell everybody. Even among those who would be thrilled at the news. If you have too many hearers, then you have too many interpretations of what was heard. So he told a few trustworthy people who would give the information accurately, and that's very, very important that it be told accurately. God's plan was to make an announcement first to just a few people. Those who would be directly involved in the birth of Jesus, of course, and then choice eyewitnesses who would spread the news accurately, like the shepherds, and they would tell others. So important. God chose to tell who? Who was the first? You remember, 6 months before Jesus was born the forerunner, John the Baptist. Well, that had to be announced because Elizabeth was barren and they had no children. And John, Zacharias, her husband, Elizabeth's husband, according to Luke, was in the position to where he could speak to the God right in the holy place, right in the temple. Let me read a little bit. He was a priest. He was the father of John the Baptist, and he accurately would tell others. John would be the forerunner of Christ. Luke chapter 1, why don't you turn there, because this is a more lengthy passage. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 17, God chose to tell Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. Let's read a little bit here. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and we'll read through verse 17. We'll skip a few verses, perhaps in the middle here, though. Verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So she was a Levite, a Jew. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. They were righteous before God. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Skip down to verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That would be in the holy place in the temple. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Skip on down to verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, Zacharias, father of John, received an announcement. It involved the coming of the Lord because he understood. Zacharias gave a benediction in chapter 1 of Luke in verses 67 to 80, sort of revealing that he understood what was happening here and what his son's role would be, what John's role would be. So why did he choose? Why did God choose Zacharias? In verse 5, he was busy serving the Lord already. Is that important? God chooses people to serve him who are busy serving him already. If he has a task to do, he doesn't ask somebody who does nothing to do this task. He asks somebody who's already serving him. That may seem a little odd. Well, why won't you get everybody busy? Well, everybody's invited to be busy, but only some respond to the invitation. And so the Lord knows who they are. Zacharias was one of those. The Bible in verse 6 says he was righteous before God. God chooses people who are righteous before him, who want to do right. At all costs, they want to do right. They were blameless, he and his wife, blameless, walking in accordance with God's word in verse 6. God uses people who have a good reputation and a good testimony. They're blameless. And lastly, we can see from the whole story, he was willing, even anxious, to participate in the plan. He was excited about this news. You know, willingness has always been important to God. The will. It is with our will, the movement of our will, that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Our will has to move to accomplish that. God's concerned about our will. The Bible says that to collect the materials necessary to build the tabernacle back in the days of Moses, Moses told the people, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. The people who were willing. Yeah, you don't tax the people to build the tabernacle. You say, whoever's willing, whoever wants to be a part of this project, you're welcome to give. Concerning New Testament giving to the needs of the saints, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. A willing mind. If we give, God looks at our will to see if we're doing it willingly or begrudging what we do for Him. And if you're going to begrudge it, you might as well keep it. It's not any good. It's not acceptable. God loves a cheerful giver, we know. So God told Zacharias, he had reasons for that. He chose someone else next to here, Mary, probably. Chapter 1 of Luke, you can look there, chapter 1 of Luke. The angel appeared unto Mary, verse 26, Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary answered in verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So the Lord, of course, told Mary. She would have to know what's going on before it even got underway. But why choose her? We have a few reasons here. She was highly favored of God, verse 28. So she lived in such a way as she was blessable. I used to say to people occasionally, you need to keep yourself blessable. God does not bless sin. He doesn't bless those who walk in their sinful ways. God blesses those who are doing right. The Bible tells us that. Back even in the writing of the law, we saw that. So Mary was highly favored. She was in a position to receive the blessing of God. She stayed there. The Lord was with her, verse 28. So if the Lord was with her, she lived in the presence of the Lord because the Lord was with her. And she was obviously a woman willing to participate because of her answer in verse 38. It takes a special person to keep a willing heart when everything's going our way. Now, that may sound backwards to you. It takes a special person to keep a willing heart when things aren't going our way. No, probably we're more likely to be willing. We need to try something, and so we're more likely. But when everything's going our way, perhaps we're less likely to think of the Lord, less likely to desire to serve Him because we've got plenty to do, plenty of our own stuff. Brothers and sisters, that's probably the sin of the age. We're busy doing our own stuff. Mary wanted to serve the Lord. She served Him because she was willing. She was a willing participant in the things that the Lord had to be done here on this earth. And so God used her. Now, you know how the story unfolds. We're going next over to the announcement to Joseph. That's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. So Joseph was in the list of those who were to be spoken to by the angels. In verse 18, Matthew 1, 18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, it happened like this. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man, so we learn about Joseph here, a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Skip down, if you would, to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Called this name Jesus. So he told Joseph, who was a just man. Just has to do with the law. The laws of Moses in this case. He was someone who he observed the divine laws that were given to them as a nation. He was obedient to the word of God, according to verse 19. Also in the same verse, he was a compassionate man. The law would have allowed him, perhaps commanded him, to stone Mary, who was found unfaithful while she was betrothed. Mary was pregnant, but she had said to Joseph, "I have not done wrong. I have not done wrong." Of course, that's physically impossible. You're pregnant, you've done wrong. That's how Joseph must have seen it. But then the angel came and spoke to him. He chose not to condemn her, but to separate himself from her and from the reproach that would be hers because she had done wrong. And he knew, the baby's not mine. But then the angel came and spoke to him. And we see that he was a man willing to accept what the angel said, to believe God's word through this powerful messenger. He was then willing to bear the shame for the cause of Christ. Verses 24 and 25 tell us. So he married Mary. Everybody in Nazareth didn't get an angelic announcement. Everybody didn't get an announcement. It was given to Joseph. It was given to Mary. They knew what was going on, but everybody else didn't. They could say what the angels had told them, but of course they were not believed. Joseph could have just separated himself from Mary, let her handle this on her own. She would have still had a baby. But the angel told him not to do that. The angel told him to marry her, and he did. So what do we see? Joseph was willing to bear the reproach. It's one thing to be willing to do that which brings you pleasure and treasure. But he was willing to bear the reproach and endure the hardship and suffer loss in Nazareth because of the word of this angel. So we're seeing that God chooses people who are willing to serve, who are walking upright spiritually. Next we see the folks in the field, the shepherds. The angels were to give an announcement to the shepherds. This is in Luke chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9 and 13 and 17. I'm going to read those verses. The angels appeared unto the shepherds. Verse 8, Luke 2, 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It seems to be common. The angels are a scary sight to those who see them. Skip down to verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Wonder how many. A multitude. That's not two or three. That's not six or eight. A multitude of angels appeared to the shepherds. Wow, what a sight that must have been. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I'm skipping over verses. I know you know what was told. And we'll see that here again in a little bit. So he told the shepherds, who were, well, what do we know about shepherds? They were quiet. They were quiet enough to listen. They were shepherds. Shepherds are not real noisy anyway. They're quiet. And the Lord spoke to them through the angels because they were ready to hear. I had this little illustration. One night a family with multiple children were noisy. around the table. They were all sitting down both sides of the table, mom on one end and dad on the other end. And the youngest of the children was 4 years old. He was sitting in a little bit higher chair than the others. And all of a sudden, this little four-year-old stood up in his chair and said, "Please pass the butter." Well, his father didn't like that. And so he scolded him and sent him to his room, thinking he had been sort of ill-mannered at the table. The father of the family later told his noisy bunch that he had sound recorded the evening meal. One playback, in the first playback, a quiet voice is heard saying, "Please pass the butter." A few minutes later, "Please pass the butter. Would someone please pass the butter?" And so he had been asking. And so we know what happened. He got rather frustrated and he wanted his butter. So he stood up and made the announcement rather loudly. Often it isn't that God didn't tell us something. It's that we weren't listening. The shepherds were quiet in the fields at night. And they listened because they were quiet. Maybe there was too much noise when the Lord spoke to you. Noise like what? You mean like audible? No, not necessarily. Just too much thought, too much to think about. Not enough time to really stop and let the Lord kind of communicate to your spirit. The story of the angelic visit to the Bethlehem shepherds bids us consider why they were chosen to hear the announcement of the Savior. Could it be, at least in part, that they would listen? They would listen. The shepherds led a quiet, peaceful life. They had to because of the sheep. And the shepherds lived with a not cluttered, with a thousand things to do sort of agenda. They were hushed enough to hear the angels and hushed enough to visit the newborn baby in Bethlehem. They were trustworthy. Shepherds are trustworthy. They have to be shepherds, or they won't have their sheep very long. They were faithful men, faithful to their task. They were men, obviously, willing to be a participant in this night. Do you ever wonder who watched the sheep while they were gone to Bethlehem? There must have been somebody there that would watch the sheep. But there were shepherds at Bethlehem to see this great event that God has announced to them by a host of angels. So God told Zechariah, because he was busy serving him already, he was a righteous man before God. He was blameless, walking in accordance with God's word. He was a man willing to participate in God's cause, his plan. The angels told Mary because she was highly favored of God. She was blessable. The Lord was with her, so she was living in His presence, obviously looking after her. God was looking after her and was familiar with her, and she with Him. She was a woman willing to participate in God's cause. The angels told Joseph because he was a just man, observing the laws and obedient to the word. He was a compassionate man. He was a man willing to bear the shame for the cause of Christ. A man willing to participate in God's plan. He told the shepherds because they were quiet enough to hear. Because they were trustworthy, faithful men willing to participate in the cause of Christ. If this lesson were only that, it would be enough. Are you the type of a person that God would lay the burden on to deliver the message, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ? These are the type of people who get the job done. How about you? Would you be a participant in the outworking of God's plan today? Would you be a participant? Are you willing to participate in the ongoing presentation of God's gift? Most Christians, maybe most here, would have to say, not really. Not really. You know how I know? Because not everybody's involved. And you know, everybody should be involved. This is your job. This is my job. This is our job together, to be like these shepherds, to share the good news. That's what we've been given. That's our commission. That's the reason God lets us breathe, so that we could serve Him until we stand in His presence. So two of the questions have been answered, but there remains one more. Why should the angels, or should say, what should the angels say about Christ when they came? So we're going to go back and look at the stories again in some other verses. Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. When he spoke to Zechariah, the angel announced this. And verse 14, Luke 1, 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Who is he talking about? This is Zechariah. He's speaking to Zechariah, announcing he's going to have a son. He's talking about John the Baptist. And those things that I just read are about John the Baptist. And many, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he, John the Baptist, turn to the Lord their God. That would be Jesus. So John would turn people to the Lord. That's what was announced to Zechariah. He's going to be the forerunner. Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He had a hard time with his old barren wife having a child. It's hard for him to believe. So he asked for a sign, and the angel gave him a sign. I bet he wished he didn't ask after that time with the angel. The angel told Zechariah, though, several wonderful things. In verse 16, he told him that he spoke of the Lord their God. That's Jesus he's talking about. John would point people to the Lord their God, to Jesus. This is the Old Testament designation, if you will, for the covenant Lord God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord. Lord. Jesus would be Lord. A lord is an owner, a landlord. A lord is an owner, a possessor, in this case, of all things, worthy of respect. He is God. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. To be able to speak to God is special, isn't it? To be able to speak of God is special. I bought a camera back in 1996. It was my first single lens reflex camera. That's the one where you can change the lenses and got all of the adjustments and so forth. I went to a place, I believe it was Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and I walked into Cardinal Camera. A nice looking guy walked over to me and he started answering questions, just really down to earth. I mean, I felt like I had known him for a long time before I left that day with my camera. His name was Kurt. I found out on my second visit when I went back that Kurt was not just any old salesman. Kurt was the owner of the camera shop, a large camera shop, multi-million dollar perhaps camera shop. He was the owner. I felt, wow, I'm a friend of the owner. Wow. How much more should we feel, how much more should we be elated and feel privileged to know God, to know His Son, Jesus Christ? We have to say, wow. Now, John the Baptist, or Zacchaeus was the father of John the Baptist. The angel's message was about John the Baptist for the most part. But then the ministry of John the Baptist was Jesus Christ. And so we did learn a little bit from the angelic announcement to Zacharias. But let's look at Luke 1, chapter 31 to 38, and we'll see what the angel told Mary. What was announced to Mary. It says in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Okay, that's news. Jehovah is salvation. You're going to call his name Jesus. "And he shall be great." That's news. Okay, so we're learning about Jesus in this announcement. "And shall be called the Son of the Highest." That's news. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Oh, this is the Messiah. That would be news to Mary. See, she needed to know about what was going on. The angel's giving Mary a lot of information about this baby that's in her womb, or would be in her womb. Verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is an eternal king. Verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" So hers is not a doubt question. It's just a, how what am I supposed to do? How's this supposed to happen type of a question? "Seeing I know not a man." Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So there's a lot of things here. His name will be Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. The meaning was not explained here, but later it was in Joseph's announcement. We'll see that here in just a minute. In verse 32, he is great. He's going to be great. Speaks of his ability, his virtue, his honor, his kingliness, his power. Also in verse 32, he is the Son of the Highest. Mary, this baby is God's son, she learned. He's deity. It's like the birth into a royal family equals royalty, right? The birth into God's family means deity. For this, the only begotten Son of God. A unique relationship. We're sons and daughters of God too, right? But we're adopted. We're adopted into the family. He is, verse 32, the Son of the Highest. He is deity. He is, verse 32, the promised King, Israel's Messiah. Promised to who? Well, promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. But in a particular way, promised to Joseph, the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7:12, "And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." His kingdom, singular. So this would be a king, the king in the line of David, the one promised all of these years he would come. He would be eternal, verse 33 says, the eternal king, our Messiah. What mother wouldn't want to be prophesied that her son would be the great king whose kingdom would be established forever? That would be quite exciting news. No doubt it was for Mary. Over in Matthew chapter 1, we'll go back there. Matthew chapter 1, what did the angels tell the shepherds? What did the angels tell the shepherds? I'm sorry, I told you the wrong place. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke 2, 10. I'm getting ahead of myself. Forgive me. I didn't say what the angels told Joseph yet. Let's look at that. That's Matthew 1. So I was right the first time. I corrected myself and I was already okay. So here we are. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. What did the angels tell Joseph? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He probably breathed a big sigh of relief, right? Whew. I'm glad that's the case. Mary's not guilty. She's innocent. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that he's conceived of the Holy Spirit, verse 20, no earthly father, none necessary. God's in charge of this. So there's no sin nature in the Lord Jesus either, because he's born of a woman. And God the Father is his Father. Verse 21, his name is going to be Jesus. And he tells him why. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah is salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. You know, it took faith from that point on to believe that this baby would save anybody. Joseph was a man of faith. A man of faith. He believed what the angel told them. The Jews wanted salvation, but their salvation was salvation from Rome. Let's get out from under the thumb of Rome. And they wouldn't be interested in this announcement at all. Many of them never would be. Now we move to Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Finally, to the shepherds. And what did God tell the shepherds? What did the angels announce? Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So that's news to them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's news to them, which is the Christ, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So this baby would be the cause of great joy to all people, verse 10. Like God promised Abraham, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. So the shepherds know that this is an exciting event, and this little baby will be a blessing to the world. Verse 11, they call him, the angels call him a Savior. And then the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God. And then lastly, in verse 11, he's the Lord. Christ the Lord. So we learn a lot about who can serve the Lord. Who will God commission? Who will God use as a messenger? Who will God minister through? We learn a lot from the Christmas story. We learn a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, because everything that anyone needed to know before it happened, was told to this little group of people, these select few. And we know so much about the Lord Jesus Christ because we're privileged to have this opportunity to just listen along with the shepherds and Zacharias and the whole cast. We are privileged to listen as they talk about our Lord. God chose the angels to deliver the announcement because angels live in His presence. You can too. Because angels understand God's plan for the ages. You can too. Because angels had known the Lord Jesus since the beginning of time. And you've known Him too. God could use you. God could use you. God delivered the announcement first to Zacharias because he was busy serving the Lord, because he was righteous before God, because he was blamelessly walking according to God's word, and a man willing to participate. They spoke to Mary because she was highly favored, because the Lord was with her. She lived in His presence. She was a willing participant. The angel spoke to Joseph because he was a just man, living in accordance with the word. He was compassionate. He was willing to bear shame for the cause of Christ, a man willing to participate. The angels spoke to the shepherds because they were quiet enough to hear the message. They were trustworthy and faithful. They were willing to participate. How about you? Can God share His truth with you? Can God touch your heart from the Word of God, knowing that what He gives to you, you'll give to somebody else? Will you share it with others? If we would be used of the Lord to announce the good news to others, what should we say? Do you know we can say the same thing the angel said? That's exactly where everybody needs to start. He is Lord. He's the ruler of all. He is Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. He is the Christ. He's the one promised in all of the Scriptures to come, and by Him all the world would be blessed. He's the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. He is God in the flesh, with all of the eternal attributes. He is great in every sense of the word. He is eternal. He is the Son of the Highest. He is deity. He is the cause of joy for all people. There's a lot to learn in the angelic announcements about God, about who He uses, and about Jesus, and about what we should say to others about Jesus. All of this in the Christmas story. I hope that you'll consider it. Listen again. Read through the story again from this perspective, from the angel's perspective, the announcement of Jesus' birth. I believe it can be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity to share these thoughts. Bless them. Help us, Lord. Help us that we would be willing participants. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.